proclaiming the truth of God's word and say, guess what? You're only saved by trusting Jesus as your Savior. That's the only way to get to heaven. He died upon the cross to pay for your sins so that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, mean it from your heart and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus really died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior. That's what the Word of God says. But you know what? We've had men and we have churches sometimes, and they want to change what the Word of God says. And they want to make it sound like you're working your way to heaven and you got to make sure that your good works outweigh your bad works. If there's ever a time that we need to stand fast in the Word of God, in the faith that we've been taught, it's today. I mean, there's a lot of people. You know, the Word of God is a very black and white book. It really is. A lot of people want to say, oh, everything in this world's pretty much gray. You know, I can't say whether that's right or wrong. Maybe you can't say it's right or wrong, but the Word of God can. And sin is still sin, wrong is still wrong, and right is still right. Y'all agree with that? Anybody out there? Say amen. Amen. Your amen seems to be turned on low volume today. Maybe it's like your phone. Maybe it's on vibrate. I don't know. But I'm thankful that I can stand fast in the faith or the Word of God. The other stand fast that we looked at, stand fast in the liberty. Five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. Stand fast in the Lord's strength and service. Stand fast in the faith and what the Word of God says and what we've been taught. Thirdly, stand fast in the liberty. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Notice this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, what exactly is that saying? Well, if you go to verse 2, it's talking about circumcision. You see, a lot of people want to say, and this was what was happening in the Galatian church, a local church that Paul was writing to. There was people in the church that said, you know what? Jesus is fine. You can accept Jesus, but you got to do the Old Testament law. Can I tell you that Jesus plus anything negates Jesus altogether? Jesus minus anything negates the gospel altogether. You see, they were saying, you got to work. You know, you can put your faith in Jesus, but now you got to do this and this and this and this in order to be saved. Now, the Word of God is very clear that salvation is not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we got to stand fast in that liberty, and don't let anybody convince us that you got to do this, 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 and this to be saved. You don't. Now, is it good to do those things? Absolutely. Is it actually expected for a Christian to do those things? Absolutely. So it's a good thing, but it's not how you're saved. You're saved and on your way to heaven because you put your faith and trust in Jesus and put your faith in Jesus alone, not by works. I've told people I would actually be, it talks about bondage, you know, not being in bond. I would be in bondage if I thought my good works determined whether I made it to heaven. I mean, really, I would. I'd be, at the end of the night, I'd be sitting on the edge of bed just thinking for a minute. Let me think about this for a minute. Okay, two mean thoughts. I was hateful with one. You know, whatever. You know, I didn't read my Bible as much as I should have today. I just kind of ignored that because I was real. You know, I'd be going through thinking, oh, okay, there's the bad. Now let's think of the good. Huh. Must have been a really interesting day because I can't think of much good I did. You know, I'd be a nervous wreck. And then think about at the end of my life, after so many days of my life, then I'm like, well, I wonder if my good works outweigh my bad works. I'll tell you, that's bondage. And people that believe you're saved by works, that's bondage. I'm thankful for the grace of Jesus. I'm thankful that I can put my faith and trust in Jesus and know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good, not because I've done good stuff, but because Jesus saved me when I put my faith and trust in Him. So five areas to stand fast in. We looked at stand fast in the Lord's strength, stand fast in the Lord's service. Second, stand fast in the faith and what we've been taught from the Word of God. Third, stand fast in the liberty. Don't start adding things. You know, every false religion of the world is a works salvation. I mean, you wonder, why are they so committed to their false god, little g god? Why are they so committed to that? Because they think it's going to get them to heaven. You know the people, the Jehovah Witnesses, okay? That's a cult, okay? Those folks do not trust Jesus as their Savior alone. And we look at them and say, boy, now that's, look at that. Those JWs, those Jehovah Witnesses, they're going door to door to door. And boy, I admire their faithfulness. You know why they're doing that? Because that's a work salvation. They think that they can work their way to heaven. It's not like you and I going door to door telling them about Jesus. They think, well, if I do this, why did the Mormons go on a 2-year mission trip? Work salvation. You see, you and I, we need to stand fast in the liberty that God has called us to. We are not saved by works. Fourthly today, stand fast in one spirit. Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 1. Excuse me, Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27. We covered this when we were going through the book of Philippians verse by verse as we are, but back a couple chapters here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Notice what it says. It says, but only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. This is talking about our conduct. Our conduct ought to become the gospel of Christ. It ought to show that we're living the gospel, that we have been truly saved, is what it's saying. Paul, writing to the church, says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, whether I can come and visit you, which I want to do, but I might lose my life, I'm under house arrest now, I'm really not sure, I may hear of your affairs that ye, notice this, same Greek word, stand fast in one spirit, with one man, mind that is striving together for the faith of the gospel. What does it mean, stand fast in one spirit? Do you know what I think it means? I mean, I believe it means that we need to stand fast or persevere in unity. In unity. You know, it's amazing to me. We have a lot of enemies in this world. Do you know that? Now, I'm not calling people our enemies, okay? But they look at us as enemies. Do you see what I'm saying? And a lot of people, honestly, a lot of people in this world would love to take us far right wingers out somewhere and dispose of us. Seriously. Would y'all agree with that? A lot of people would like to do that. They just like to get rid of. So they are enemies of the gospel. They are enemies of our... But guess what? When we come together as people that have trusted Jesus as their Savior, we're on the same team. Let me try that again, okay? When we get together and know Jesus as our Savior and have nailed down our salvation, guess what? We are on the same team. And when it says stand fast in one mind, it's talking about standing fast or persevering in unity. In unity. You know, Paul makes a really, really big point. I don't even think this verse will show up on the monitor, but I want to mention this one thing. Paul says there's one thing that he's doing, and I'm going to tie that in with one mind here in just a moment, but notice what he says. You're familiar with this verse. He says in verse 13 of chapter 3, brethren, I count not myself, writing to the same church, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says there's one thing that I'm doing. I'm forgetting the things that are behind. Now with Paul, he would be forgetting that he persecuted the church, right? He'd be forgetting that he killed Christians in the name of God because he was misguided and didn't understand about Jesus. So he's forgetting those things which are behind. And as part of that one thing of forgetting what's behind and marching forth, notice what he says in the next verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I know that's a lot of words and that might be a little bit confusing, but Paul says, you know, the one thing that I'm doing, I'm forgetting the past and I am moving forward for God. I am pressing towards serving God the best I know how. That's big. That's big. And if you read on in these verses after that, he keeps alluding to that and talking about. So I believe when he's saying stand fast in one mind, I believe what he's saying is, guess what? We all need to be that committed and do one thing, forget the past and press on. I think of a runner. I think of someone in a race. You know, and what are they pressing on toward? They're pressing to break that tape at the end of the line, right? They're pressing so that they finish the race in a good way. And what we need to do in that one mind is focus upon the Lord Jesus. You say, stand fast in one mind. Preacher, you're saying that means unity. So what does that one mind of forgetting the past and reaching forth for the prize, serving the Lord, number one, what is all that? How does all that tie in together? Do you realize that a lot of the things that cause us to be disunified as Christians, they're almost on the level of insignificant. I've heard of churches sometimes, they disagree over. So we don't have a problem because we got a piano on both sides. But churches have disagreed and had major blow-ups because part of the church thinks the piano ought to be on this side and part of the church thinks the piano ought to be on that side. And they get so mad at one another and they draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to defend my position. And it disunifies the church in the cause of Christ. And there have been churches split over that insignificant of stuff. I've heard of churches that had major problems and disagreement and disunity and even split because they thought the color of the carpet ought to be one color. And there was a bunch in the church that thought it ought to be another color. And so they just and then split. Now, that's not unity. You see, unity. Now, here's where we're going to tie it all together. Unity, when it says stand fast in one mind, I really think this is what it's saying. Do you know what? Everything else compared to the priority of serving Jesus is so small that I'm going to overlook that little tiny small thing and say, maybe we're just going to agree to disagree, but it really is not a big deal compared to serving Jesus. Does that make sense? I mean, I've just used two radical examples here, color carpet and piano. But we can do the same thing over almost anything. We can say, I don't know about that, John. I don't like the order of our service. You know, we ought to change the order of our service. We ought to do it this way, and we ought to do it this way. And if we're not careful, we'll let that get so big and so important that we let it disunify us and divide us. But you know what? What we ought to really be saying is, okay, number one is Jesus. Number one is the priority of doing my best, pressing forward for Jesus. And sometimes we might say, guess what? We're just going to agree to disagree on this because what's most important is Jesus. Do you kind of see that? Let me see if I can illustrate that. What if we had the mayor of Clarksburg in our church today? He'd say, praise the Lord. I really can't tell you who the mayor of Clarksburg is. I'm normally a little bit more on top of that, but I don't live in Clarksburg. I live in Doddridge County. Actually, my residence is still officially in Wood County. So I know who the mayor of Williamstown is, but I don't know who the mayor of Clarksburg. Does anyone know who the mayor of Clarksburg is? Moffa Joe? Okay. He's the one that was on council. And was he the one that was almost killed? Yeah. I've met him before. I have. He worked at the funeral home for a while. I met him. But if we had Mayor Moffa Joe here, he's sitting somewhere in the church. And we're like, okay, you know, welcome. We're glad that you're here. But but we notice this great big entourage coming up the hill. I mean, we're talking about armored vehicles, you know, those SUVs, those black ones. And they pull up, and we're like kind of scratching our head. And before long, out comes President Trump. And he comes to the door back there, and President Trump sits in the far back corner, about where Jeff sits. He says, Jeff, do you mind if I sit back here? It's a little bit more secure. So Jeff gets up and let him sit there. Would you let President Trump sit in your seat, Jeff? Okay. All right. Good. So he's back there in the back row in the very corner. See, Moffa Joe's up here somewhere as the mayor of Clarksburg. And this is nothing against him and nothing against being mayor of Clarksburg. That's a good thing and a big deal. But guess what? Which one would you give more attention to? When the service is over, we say, well, President Trump said he'd be welcome to greet you back there. And Mayor Moffa Joe said he'd be welcome to greet you up here. Where are you going to probably go, folks? You're probably going to go back and see President Trump, right? Would y'all agree with that? Amen. It's kind of that way when it comes to unity in the body of Christ, when it comes to choosing to be unified, because unity is a choice. You can choose to be disunified, or you can choose to be unified. But you know what? The priority, the one that's most important, whenever we get to thinking about it and say, well, I want my way and this is my opinion. If they don't do it, I'm going to be, you know, we ought to think about, like President Trump back here in the back, what's really important here? What's really important? It's serving the Lord. It's the priority of making him a priority. So everything else just kind of falls down like, okay, no big deal compared to pressing forward for Jesus. Does that make sense? Today we've talked about standing fast. This morning we reviewed and covered one new point. Standing fast or persevering. Five areas in which we need to stand fast or persevere. Stand fast in the Lord's strength. Stand fast in the Lord's service. Secondly, stand fast in the faith. What you know from the Bible, stand firm and fast and persevere. Even if the whole world goes crazy, even if most churches go crazy and say, we're not going to follow the Word of God, you make up in your mind, I'm going to persevere in the Word of God. Stand fast in the liberty or the freedom from the law that we have. You're not saved by works. You're saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. And today in particular, stand fast in one spirit. You know what? If we know Jesus as our Savior, we have that commonality. And we need to choose that what's most important is serving Jesus. What's most important is moving forward for Him. So I'm not going to let those little disagreements. Because guess what? Everybody in this church is different. You notice that? Some are really different, but I'm not going to mention any names. But we're all different, and we view things differently. Now, if it's a biblical thing, absolutely stand strong and say, that's what the Word of God says. So we're going to stand on the virgin birth. We're going to stand on salvation by grace through faith. We're going to stand on what Jesus did for us. We're going to stand on the indwelling Holy Spirit, and on and on. But, you know, if it's just your opinion versus someone else's opinion, just keep in mind what's really important here. It's pressing forward for the cause of Christ. Amen. Now, you might say that really doesn't apply to me right now, but it might tomorrow. It might next week or next month or a year from now. Whatever church you may attend, we have a number of visitors, whatever church, it may come up and you're like, I just disagree with that. And again, it's not a biblical issue, but it's your opinion. Now just think about, now for the cause of Christ, what would be the best thing for me to do? Probably just shut my mouth and move on for Jesus. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. Let me ask you today, I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way as far as this first part in particular. But let me ask you, has God spoken to your heart today about unity and what true unity really is? It's really putting Jesus above all else. And even when you may disagree over things, again, not biblical things, but little things about, let me ask you, will you make the conscious decision, God helping you next time you disagree with something in the church? Will you make the conscious decision to remember that the most important thing is Jesus? Would you take just a moment, if that's you and that's your heart's desire, because there'll be things you disagree with in any church you go to. Again, not doctrinal things, but would you ask God the next time you disagree with something in your opinion, Lord, to keep in mind the whole time that what's most important is serving Jesus. That's the preeminent one mind thing that my mind should be focused on. Would you take just a moment, say, God, help me to remember that next time disagreement comes up. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you a question. You know, we're a church that proclaims the gospel very freely. The gospel is quite simply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we teach and we preach that we can be truly saved. Our sins can be forgiven. We can accept Jesus as our Savior by simply asking the Lord to forgive us of our sins, telling God in prayer that we believe Jesus really died. We've got to mean it from our heart. That we really believe that Jesus died upon the cross to pay for our sins. And by confessing Jesus as our Savior in prayer to God. And if you're here today, do you know for sure? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If you're 100% sure, nobody looking around, if you're sure, 100% sure that you have trusted Jesus as your Savior and you're on your way to heaven, would you raise your hand up real high for me to see? Real high. God bless you. Keep raising. If you have not raised it, go ahead and raise it up. Amen. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Let me ask you, if you could not raise your hand today, can I encourage you in a moment as we sing this song? I'll be standing somewhere down front. Would you come up to me and say, Preacher, I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Or maybe you'd say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to take a little time and talk with you and pray with you. And when you leave this place, you can know you're on your way to heaven. Would you do that today? If you couldn't raise your hand and you could leave here saying, I'm sure that if I die, I'm on my way to heaven. Because I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I asked Him to forgive me of my sins. I told Him I believe Jesus really died upon the cross for me as God's Son, resurrected back to life, and I confess Jesus as my Savior, as my leader, as the one I'm going to follow. Would you respond today if that's you? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Bible. Lord, help us to stand fast. Help us to persevere, Lord, in all of these areas. Help us to serve You faithfully. And Lord, as we've emphasized today, Lord, help us to stand fast in one mind. Lord, with the idea that Paul had, Lord, that the most important thing to me is Jesus and serving Him. And serving Him as best as I can. And may we keep that in mind, Lord, the next time we are tempted to disagree or to get all upset about something. But Lord, help us to keep the main thing, Jesus and the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.